Good morning. I'm Artis Hampshire-Cowan, Vice Chair of the Committee, sitting in today for Ms. Bowser. We have several presentations. Our Real Estate Director, Stan Walls, will walk us through the three action items. One is to obtain our approval of a term sheet for a development involving the Navy Yard chiller plant. The second is to provide approval for the District of Columbia to use a portion of its share of the Transit Infrastructure Investment Fund to extend the Metropolitan Branch Trail. But first, we'd like to ask to approve the compact public hearing to replace and relocate existing Metro facilities at the Green Bay Station in order to prepare the site for use by the FBI. As Stan will explain, the work being proposed would only go forward if the Greenbelt site is selected for the new FBI facility. Stan is working with the developer in advance and is seeking approval for hearings on the changes, as well as a proposed non-rider parking fee at the station. I will now turn the floor over to Mr. Walls. I'm sorry, the chairman told me to get started, and I did. So let's start first with our safety contact, Jim Dowery. Good morning, Jim.
Thank you, Chair. Appreciate it. Good morning, and members of the board. Just as a reminder, in the event of an emergency, we would ask that you exit the board meeting room, to my right or left, following the exits, through the front doors of the building, cross 5th Street, utilizing the crosswalks, and meet in the corner of the building museum there, in that grassy area now that the barbecue has been removed from that area. So starting off, as I'm sure everyone is aware, our safety contact is with back-to-school reminders. As you know, all schools are back in session, and most of the children, just as a reminder, who lose their lives in bus-related crashes are pedestrians 4 to 7 years old who are hit by the bus or by motorists illegally passing a stopped school bus. All 50 states have a law making it illegal to pass a school bus that is stopped to load or unload children. School buses use yellow flashing lights to alert motorists that they are preparing to stop to load or unload children. Red flashing lights and an extended stop sign arm signals to motorists that the bus is stopped and children are getting on and off the bus. Traffic in both directions must stop. The area 10 feet around a school bus is where children are in the most danger of being hit. Children are unpredictable. Children walking to and from their bus are usually very comfortable with their surroundings. Never pass a school bus on the right. Pedestrians have the right of way at all times and intersections, as a reminder. Do not stop with a portion of your vehicle over the crosswalk, blocking the crosswalk forces as pedestrians to go around your vehicle. In a school zone, when a warning flasher or flashers are blinking, you must stop to yield the right-of-way to the pedestrian crossing the roadway when a marked crosswalk or at an intersection with no marked crosswalk. Children are the least predictable pedestrians and the most difficult to see. Take extra care to look out for children, not only in school zones, but also in residential zones, around playgrounds and parks. This concludes my safety contact for this morning. Thank you, Chairman Hampshire Cohen.
Thank you, Jim. We'd like to take a moment of silence in remembrance of September 11, 2001. I think that's a date that, so before and after, I think we all remember that. So let's take a moment. Thank you. I'd like to now certify the committee had an executive session right before this meeting. I move that the Planning, Program Development, and Real Estate Committee certify to the best of each member's knowledge and with no individual member dissenting that at the just concluded executive session of the committee on September 11, 2014, only such matters as are authorized for discussion in executive session under bylaw Article 10 and only those matters identified in the notice by which the executive session was convened were heard, discussed, or considered by the committee.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried. I'd also ask for the approval of the agenda by the committee.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried. And also request approval of the minutes of October 10th, 2013. I was, so I moved. Do I have a second? Do I have anyone here to second my present? I moved, so moved. So all those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? The motion is carried. Thank you. Now we return to our agenda items for today. Stan.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Our first item this morning is seeking board approval to conduct a compact public hearing regarding proposed transit facility changes and proposed non-rider parking fee at the Greenbelt Metro Station. As background on the Greenbelt Joint Development Project, the board approved an amended joint development agreement in October of 2011. The agreement provided for the developer's pursuit of the FBI relocation, along with adjacent mixed-use development on WMATA's 78-acre site. Earlier this summer, GSA announced three shortlisted sites to advance into the next stage of their evaluation process, and one of those sites was the Greenbelt Metro Station. As part of the Greenbelt developer's ongoing efforts to respond to the GSA solicitation, they are required to produce a concept plan detailing proposed relocation of the metro facilities that would then allow for the remaining land to be made available to FBI. This concept plan shall be presented to the public for comment as part of the compact public hearing. Looking at the existing conditions at the Greenbelt station, the 78-acre WMATA property largely consists of a 3,400-space commuter parking lot for daily parkers, 327 kiss-and-ride spaces, a bus loop containing 17 bus bays, and a 30-space parking lot for motor coach buses. Access to the Greenbelt station from the Beltway allows cars to enter the station from the southbound Beltway and then exit back onto the northbound Beltway. There is no direct access from the Beltway to the south, from the south, into and out of the station. Additional local access is provided via an access drive that connects to Cherrywood Lane in the city of Greenbelt. Zooming in on the area immediately next to the station entrance, the proposed concept plan would relocate the parking ride commuter parking into a freestanding metro-owned parking structure located to the left in this diagram. The kiss and ride parking area and the bus loop would be located immediately adjacent to the station entrance, with mixed-use development being built above both of those facilities. The motor coach bus parking area will be located to the far right of the bus loop in this diagram toward the Beltway. To provide for enhanced capacity for bicycle storage, a secure bike and ride facility will be incorporated into the proposed plans, along with traditional bike racks and lockers. Looking at a higher level view of the plan, the proposed concept provides for significantly increased access to the Greenbelt station. For vehicles, new ramps will be added to the northbound Beltway lanes and exiting to the southbound lanes, thus allowing for the first time full access to the Beltway from the Greenbelt station. Further, the Central Boulevard, Greenbelt Station Boulevard, would connect the station area development to existing and new communities that are under development to the south, to the left on this map. Bicycle and pedestrian access would be improved by a bicycle pedestrian trail to Cherrywood Lane and another bicycle pedestrian trail along Greenbelt Station Parkway connecting to the existing community to the left on this map as well. These access and circulation plans and proposed facility changes will be provided in full detail as part of the docket, which will be released to the public in advance of the compact public hearing. Based on advance notice requirements and to avoid the holiday season, we anticipate scheduling the hearing to occur in January of 2015. The proposed project and changes to transit facilities will support two Momentum Strategic Plan goals: improving regional mobility and connecting communities through the enhanced access to the station, encouraging reverse commuting through the establishment of an employment center at the end of the Green Line, serving as a catalyst to development for the surrounding community, and bringing TOD land use and enhanced ridership long sought at the Greenbelt station. Further, the project helps achieve financial stability and investment in assets by replacing the Metro facilities at no cost to Metro and providing fair market value to Metro for the property. It is staff recommendation that the board approve conducting a compact public hearing on the proposed transit facility changes and the proposed non-rider parking fee at the Greenbelt station. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions from members of the committee?
Since this District of Columbia is not in the FBI sweepstakes, are we going to be doing this for the other two sites that are the shortlisted FBI GSA facilities?
As we are approached by those jurisdictions, we will definitely support them in their pursuit of the FBI. But we have not yet been approached for any, you know, special action on Metro's part for those sites.
Okay, then follow on, Madam Chair. The developer, with or without winning the sweepstakes, is going to do this project?
Incorrect. If okay. GSA decides that FBI is not going to be relocated to Greenbelt, then our existing joint development agreement is immediately terminated, right, and we will start all over again.
Okay.
Ms. Hampshire-Cohen, just to weigh in on the Virginia piece of this, because in fact Virginia does have some sites in this sweepstakes, and I think it's important for us to always say that, as you did, Mr. Wall, that should the Virginia jurisdictions be interested in having Metro's input on any portion of this planning that needs to happen to support the FBI bid, WMATA stands ready to do that. We're not picking winners and losers here. Our goal is to make a good decision for the region that maximizes any property we have and enhances ridership. So, thanks.
Any other comments? Is there a motion for approval? Tony?
I move that we use parking, excuse me, non-rider parking fee at the Greenbelt Metro Station.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? The motion is carried. Then let's move now to our next item, the Navy Yard Chiller.
Thank you. Our second item this morning is a request for board approval to negotiate and execute a term sheet with MRP Cash Riegler as a selected developer for the Navy Yard Chiller joint development site. WMATA's 14,100-square-foot property at the Navy Yard Chiller site was offered in November 2013 in our joint development solicitation. This is the very first term sheet arising out of that solicitation, and we're excited to have reached this point in only 9 months after issuing that solicitation. As part of the solicitation, we require that the existing chillers, which serve the Navy Yard and waterfront stations, remain on site but allowed for relocation of the chillers within the proposed development. We received three proposals for the site, and after careful evaluation, the MRP Cash Riegler proposal best met the evaluation criteria. As background, the Navy Yard Chiller site is located at the corner of Half and L Street Southeast, approximately one block north of the western entrance to the Navy Yard Station, and approximately two blocks north of the ballpark. The proposed project is composed of 126 residential units and 6,000 square feet of ground floor retail, and 55 spaces for the private development, a parking ratio of less than 0.5, which is fantastic for encouraging ridership. In addition to accommodating the relocated chiller plant, the developer will also provide 500 square feet of office space and five parking spaces for Metro operations engineering staff who support the chiller plant and the nearby Navy Yard station. The proposed project directly supports Momentum Strategic Plan by improving regional mobility and connecting communities. Specifically, the project takes an industrial use property and transform it into a mixed-use project that will activate the surrounding area. The Navy Yard has undergone a significant renaissance over the last several years, transforming from an industrial warehouse area to a vibrant mixed-use community. Our chiller plant is one of the last remaining industrial uses in this area, and this project will help make this site part of that existing fabric. Further, the project addresses the 10 joint development objectives listed here that we strive to achieve on all of our projects. It is our recommendation that the board approve the negotiation execution of a term sheet with the MRP Cash Riegler team as selected developer for the Navy Yard Chiller Plant Joint Development Site. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions?
Yeah, are the chillers going to be integrated into the developer's project?
They are. If you look at slide 5 that's on the screen now, they are in the upper left-hand corner of the first floor of the building.
It. Okay. Thanks.
Any other comments or questions? Yes, please. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? The motion is carried. Let's move now to the next item, the Met Branch Trail. And Mr. Waltz, I'd ask that given we have a number of new members, it was certainly a question I had initially. You sort of give us just an overview of TIF and then go into this specific presentation.
Sure. As introduction, the TIF is the Transit Infrastructure Investment Fund. It was originally established in 1997 in response to a Federal Transit Administration pilot program that allowed for transit agencies to reinvest proceeds from real estate transactions into projects that help enhance ridership, enhance access to transit, or enhance revenues for the transit agencies. This was set up for Metro in 1997. There's been a number of board actions that have subsequently allocated funds to various projects, and this is an allocation of funds within the DC account to a DC project. We staff are undergoing a review of all of the projects within the TIF to determine whether or not there are any projects that could be canceled and then free up funds for reallocation to other projects within the capital program. And we do expect to come back to the board before the end of the calendar year to report back on the result of that analysis and to seek guidance on how we might be able to redeploy those funds.
Thank you. Any questions just on the
I'm still confused. Mary asked earlier in our staff briefing that, you know, it leads me to believe that it's the TIF funds are by jurisdiction.
They are, the TIF funds first go into an unallocated account, and then there's board action that's required to then allocate those funds among the jurisdictions, and there's also a board action required to allocate funds to a specific project.
So they're, so the TIF funds do have a jurisdictional tag, but they're not necessarily committed to a project in that jurisdiction. They are, they could go for regional or sub-regional projects.
Correct, yes.
All right.
And part of this analysis process will be identify what funds remain that could be allocated to future projects.
Ms. Hampshire-Cohen?
Yes.
Stan, I'm really glad that you're doing the look at this, and I've had some conversation with my staff, so I know you're working with the jurisdictions closely on this. As we move this forward, it may be the kind of thing where, as we've done with the goals of development, we've got these 10 things that we're trying to achieve. It may be that with the TIF, it would be helpful to end up with a similar set of bigger goals as guidance moving forward. And perhaps that already exists, but I think for all of us kind of working on our governance stuff, having those principles clearly identified is always helpful.
The last time there was any action on the TIF was back in 2009. So it is overdue in terms of updating the guidance for how the funds are allocated and used. So we will make recommendations as part of this study.
Right. Okay, let's proceed.
For our final action this morning, staff are seeking board approval to authorize the District of Columbia to use up to $390,000 of DC TIF funds for the construction of the Metropolitan Branch Trail Extension at Tacoma Metro Station. As part of this action, we're also seeking board approval to enter into a memorandum of understanding with Tacoma Spring Place LP and the District of Columbia that will govern the implementation of the trail and the release of the funding. As I mentioned earlier, the TIF was established in 1997 as a means of capturing the value created through metro real estate transactions and reinvesting that value into projects that serve to provide long-term benefits to metro, such as increasing access to transit, enhancing ridership, or enhancing revenue. In late fall of 2013, the District Department of Transportation submitted a request to WMATA to use TIF funds to construct the Metropolitan Branch Trail Extension. The trail extension is being completed in conjunction with an adjacent cooperative housing development project called Metro Village. The developer of that project will construct the trail extension in conjunction with that project, and the trail will be maintained by the District of Columbia once it's constructed. As background, this aerial map shows the location of the proposed trail extension project. It's located on the west side of the railroad tracks at Tacoma Station, connecting from Carroll Avenue going north along the track right of way. The trail will provide enhanced bike and pedestrian connectivity from the neighborhoods that are to the west of the Tacoma Metro Station. This proposed action supports Momentum Strategic Plan Goal 3 of improving regional mobility and connecting communities by supporting the ongoing implementation of the Metropolitan Branch Trail Corridor, which at full build-out will connect several metro rail stations along the route, along the Red Line route. It will also enhance pedestrian and bicycle access to the Tacoma Metro Rail Station. With these benefits in mind, it is staff's recommendation that the board authorize District of Columbia to use $390,000 of DC TIF funds for the construction of the Metropolitan Branch Trail Extension at Tacoma Metro Station, and to approve Metro entering into an MOU with the Tacoma String Place LP and the District of Columbia. Thank you.
Tony?
Yeah, this project is in my neighborhood. In fact, my house is about a block and a half from the site. I won't get into any debates on the ideal site for a branch trail, but this particular project will benefit certainly the housing being built along Bull Place and Chestnut Street as another access to this station rather than having to go out to Blair Road and walk down a very narrow walkway. So it does have an added benefit of providing pedestrian access to the metro station. So I think in the long term, it's a good project. So I certainly would support it and would move approval of the package.
I think Mr. Folger had a comment.
Well, I was just wondering if Tony would be riding on this when it's constructed.
It's a very small piece, and if you're riding a bike, you'd be looking at other routes, so not necessarily this route. So what won't benefit me as a commuter, because I can walk to the metro station.
Okay, just checking.
Okay. It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you. Any abstentions? The motion is carried. Thank you, Ms. Wong.
Thank you.
Meeting is adjourned.